here's where we're having trouble, big time, within our nation today, and even in generations past. We do not, as God's children, accept our uniqueness as a blessing from God. And yet God blessed us by allowing us to be created unique. There's no one else like you. You can ask more than just your wife or husband. They'll tell you. You're right. The world has been spared with there ever being two Larry Vances. God looks to the heart, but he also looks to the heartbeat. And what you and I have to look at in our own life as we focus on our commitment in 2014, an individual commitment. What God has called me to do, he has called you to do something that is unique of its own. There's nothing unique about any of us preachers who proclaim the truth of God by quoting God's word. The uniqueness is in how each different called personality presents it. Why does that make a difference? It makes a difference to those who are hearing. We must, folks, bring the word of God to the heartbeat of man. And in doing so, we must understand that you and I are obliged in our uniqueness to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ones God sends our way. Never forget, you started out born a human being. Physical flaws, older we get, the more flaws we see and can recognize. But at some point within our life, or possibly several points within our life, the Holy Spirit of God convicts us that we are not right with him. Convicts us, as we will say, of our sin. And the Holy Spirit, when we say, "Yes, Lord, I believe," he comes into my body and your body, and he, God, abides within us. Then me as an individual Christian, you as an individual Christian, we become a master link, or a link serving the master. And then each master link hooks together to form the body, the church. God builds the church. You can't build a church. You can't go out and say, "Okay, I know God, I know your heart, and I know exactly who you want in here." That's the trouble today. How about let God do the sending and us do the accepting? Our marquee says, "Whoever you are, come as you are, whenever you can." I believe that with my heart. You do too. Because you know, when you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you had nothing to offer him, did you? Whether as a child or an adult. All God wanted was you to give him your heart in the name of his son, and he'd put the beat in your life. He would give you direction. So every one of us serving the same God as Christians understand that we are unique. Please do not push away your uniqueness. God gave you that personality for a reason. I always know that when it comes to grouches. It takes a grouch to minister to another grouch. A lot of that going on. That's ministry. But see, your personality may not touch another type of personality where the body of Christ, you would come together, and then there's some personality within his body of that fellowship that can touch your life. And God sends you there. Now, our sin as Christians is when God sends us, do we go? And if we go, do we do what he's commanded us to do when we get there? "Oh, I'm following the Lord's leadership. He told me to come to church." He told me to accept His Son as Lord and Savior. He told me to follow Him in baptism. I've done all of that and I've got it over with. Now I don't have to do any of it anymore. Well, the salvation part you got right. The baptism part you got right. The not never ever having to go back to church, you got all wrong. We are the body of Jesus on earth. That's our whole theme for 2014. It should be the theme of the life of every Christian. If our heart is not beating for the word of Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Then the church is truly dead. God calls us. And I don't understand free will, but I tell you, there's nobody that knows and believes in free will any more than I do. I do not understand how God could love me and call me and how free will works. And I'm thankful, because if I knew how it worked, then He wouldn't be God. If man can figure God out, wrong God, get out of the way. But God has, and we will find out one day when we enter His presence, I'm sure, as to how He can say that I created you for this, but you have the free will to do it or not do it. Now, it takes a lot of love to do that. Is that what you tell your children? Now, children, let me tell you, especially you teenagers, I want you to go out and I want you to enjoy yourself out on dates and do whatever just comes to your mind. You have the free will to do it. Have any of you parents ever been dumb enough to say that? Think of it. God says, I trust my creation. Do you know why God loves us? He created us. He knows how special you really are. He loves how special we are because we are His voice with skin in a world that despises Him. And He says, this is what I want you to do, and I love you so much, but I will not make you serve me. Christianity happens to be, if you want to use the term religion, only religion whose Savior is still alive. Amen. Christianity is the only religion, which I call lifestyle. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm born again, born from above, born anew. I don't care what translation you use. It's just the focus of I am God's child. And when we come together, we're looking as Christians at one another as God's child. God did not create us not to do anything. Well, from the very beginning, He put Adam and Eve to work in the garden. There's always work to do. They messed it up. We've been messing it up ever since. God says, I love you and I want you to understand. Now, the series I'm doing is doing business with God. A lot of business going on in this world. Very little business listening to God. Yet there are many doing business with God. I've been called to preach. I've been called to teach. God says, Larry, let's go into business together. So God, through His grace, saved me. And folks, I entered the business with God, and it's called the salvation business. I know the Christ that I accepted. I know the reality of who He is. And I want others to know Him also. Whether enemies, whether friends. I never understood, folks. Yes, I do understand it, because I was that way at one point in my life also. I knew Christ as Lord and Savior, but I didn't want to share Him with my friends because I was afraid they'd think I was nuts. And they wouldn't want to be my friend. And then you get in a relationship with Jesus Christ, you understand something. If you lose friendship because you love them, it wasn't friendship anyway. And we must have the heart of love like Christ has for us in our uniqueness. Don't follow the crowd. The crowd's going in the wrong direction. The crowd was heading up the hill to Golgotha. The crowd, part of them saying, "Oh, how horrible this is," and the other says, "Kill him." And Jesus loved both sides all the way up. And it's the love of Christ that makes us different. He planted inside you and planted inside me a special spirit. That's his spirit. No different from any one of us as far as Jesus' spirit. But the spirit he placed inside of you is unique for your personality, for your life. And there could be, let's look at it this way. Possibly, God created me in his image. And when I get whatever age, there's one person out there that God knows my personality will connect with. And that one person will accept him as Lord and Savior. And my whole life was spent waiting for that one person to be born and for us to come together. Now that's how unique we truly are. And that's the love that God has for each and every one of us. Now that's special. And God said, "You're in business with me. We're in the good type of love business. We're in the power business." Gosh, when God called me to be in business with him, he did not make me equal partners. Huh? No. Don't you think that you get so close to God that you're going to start this buddy-buddy stuff. I serve a risen Savior. He's alive in me today. I serve a risen Savior. He came in my life in his special way. You and I are called by God for a purpose. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world says to you. They didn't like Jesus either. Why, the religious leaders of the day didn't even realize he was coming. And then they wanted to kill him. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I serve the Master, but I'm only one link. For his body is great. His love knows no end. His strength is all powerful. His truth had no beginning. It always has been. God looks to you and looks to me and says, "I shaped you for a special work. I molded you. I want you to understand, study your shape. Pay attention to who you are. Because I created you that way. What others will call a flaw, all heaven could be jumping in jubilee because of what the world calls your flaw. All of creation marvels at the love that God has given to us through his Son. Today in a nation, we're watching our children grow up, many growing up not knowing the truth, and when they do hear the truth, they're afraid to proclaim it openly because the world says you're different. Wonder how many people in the churches of the United States of America today, if given the choice, "You will bow to Islam, to Allah, or I will kill you." Throughout the world today, you are witnessing Christians that are more than willing to die for the Christ they have within them. Would we do it in America? The question is always in the heart as we become so pious in so many ways. And the enemy comes to the door. And you open the door and he looks in and says, "I've come to kill your children. Are they at home?" And the pious heart says, "I cannot tell a lie. I can. I can protect my family. I better. Oh no, take my children." And you would say, "Well, that'll never happen." It's already happened. It's in the world today. We are not raising our children and teaching them how to live in a world that hates them. We're so protective so often, we guard them from everything. Then they get 18 or they get older, and you push them in a world right in the middle of the thorn thicket, and they don't know what to do. God says, deal with what's real. Hurt, pain, that's real. Agony, brokenness. Watching the greatest nation that's ever been known crumble because of jealousy and power. Jesus Christ is all powerful. No one, no nation can stand against his power. And the power that he has, he placed in you when he came to abide. When you open the door and said, yes, Jesus. It's a lot more to being a master link than your mind or my mind can handle. That means the master's in charge. You fall in a ditch of life. Who do we call for? Now, I know some of you ask the Marines to help us out. Help you. But who do you call for? Is it not the prayer said, Father, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner? Tell me how many times when you fell in that ditch of life and you cried out to God that he didn't show up. He always shows up. You know why? You're unique. You're unique. If for no other uniqueness or unique part of you, understand this. You're the child of a king. He will not let his children be messed with after a certain point. But God will demand that parents be a parent. Listen, folks, we do not have time to be politically correct. Our children are going into the real world. You and I must understand, I am the father of my son. My wife is the mother of my son. We are not his buddy. We are his parents. He doesn't need other buddies. He's got them on the police department and all. He doesn't need them, us. He wants us to be parents. The family collapses. Why? Well, let's blame it on the kid. Let me tell you, as a prison chaplain for all of those years in crisis intervention, I've watched more children with broken hearts come and with so much guilt, believing they were the problem in the family. They broke mom and dad up. And if I could have had a hold of mom and dad, a few cases I gave them a good talking to, we would have had a come to Jesus meeting. Children, you're special. You're a gift from God. You and I have been called for a purpose. And God said, I've shaped you, Larry, and then he names us. I've shaped you to do what I've called you to do. Let me read Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16. This is in the message. You, God, shaped me, first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. You know me inside and out. That makes you nervous, doesn't it? You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, like an open book. You watched me grow from conception to birth. Now listen. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one day. Well, that means I didn't have a choice then but to accept Jesus. That's not what that means at all. It means that when you say yes to my son, and I will convict you, and you will have the freedom. Now, that's the part I don't understand, so please don't try to explain it to me. When that happens, I want you to understand I've got a purpose for you. It may be multiple purposes, but I guarantee you, you have just one that is very, very special to someone. God calls us, and when he does, please remember something. God calls you to preach, you allow Him to touch your heart. Don't you ever stick with an outline that you've done. Don't you ever refrain from standing up and saying, "Thus saith the Lord thy God." But you say that out of love and out of understanding about life. Our children know enough about all the world things that we allow them to know about. Do they know enough about Jesus and the truth about eternal life? Why do you think they always call a preacher when somebody dies? Why is it that so many will stay away from God's house, and the only time they ever enter the door is funeral time or wedding? Sometimes they are the main attraction at the funeral. Don't do that. God has called you for a purpose. We don't have time to waste. For one day, and it won't be long, you and I will witness preachers backing away from the truth, and the people will accept the lie because it's just peace, they say. But Jesus says, "Peace, peace." They cry, "Peace," but there is no peace. For child will turn against their parents, parents against their children. All hell has broken loose, and God is watching, not for our defeat. He's listening for us to say, "Lord, what's my next step? I'm ready to go." Are you ready? Whatever commitment in a moment that you need to make, you make that commitment to Christ. You can do it right where you're seated. It doesn't matter, as long as you have a heart in your commitment. Let God tell you what you need to do, not a preacher or anybody else. You have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ when you said yes to Him. He's quite capable of telling you what you need to do. Let's pray. Father, we praise Your holy name and thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You that it is Your army that stands so strong. It is Your love that supersedes all of our foolishness. Touch our children. Father, protect them. Be with the parents, dear Lord God, as they struggle against the evil of the world just to save their child. You've asked us, Father, to call on Your name, and therefore we do. Bring to us the peace and the understanding of hurt and pain. Bring to us the wisdom that only You can give and the world does not know. But give us the courage and boldness to take Your wisdom to a lost and dying world in love. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.